Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 54.
Hey, in this episode's bits, we'll just be doing some awesome hot topics. It's, oh my god, it's a two-for-one deal. A look back at 2019 and a look forward to 2020. And I guess we'll also get up to our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits? Question mark?
Sweet. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you drool over bits regardless.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I have a problem.
Yeah, this is the annual January episode that every media outlet does.
Yeah.
We talk about the year.
At least we didn't be like, oh, it's a new decade. Let's talk about the decade. So.
Speaking of that.
I have a
great question for you.
Oh, gosh, really? Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
I put all my energy into that sound effect. I don't know if you could tell.
I did. Yeah, I could tell. I hope everyone else could tell, too.
All right. Well, my question. Because we're celebrating a new decade.
Oh, you suck.
All right. I've chosen from 2010 to 2019 one game from each of those years.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the name of the game, and you have to guess the year.
You're giving me the name of the game, and I have to guess the year.
Yeah.
All right.
And it'll be, obviously, from this decade, because I'm cliche.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Above and Below.
Oh, wait, didn't you just do this? Was it 2015?
Boom, you have a good memory.
I am awesome.
D-Day Dice.
2016?
No.
17.
No.
14.
No.
13.
Oh, my God.
12. 11. 10.
Oh, yeah.
12.
12. Jeez. Okay, ready? Yamatai. Yeah.
Is 2016.
Close.
17.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let's see. Seven Wonders.
2010.
Boom. Abyss.
Mm-hmm. So it was right around when it was 2016?
No.
2015?
You already guessed that.
2017? 18.
You already guessed 2017.
I should be
2018,
keeping...
you think Abyss came out last year?
I don't know. 2014?
There you go.
Really? That doesn't feel like that long ago.
5 years, 6 years, yeah. All right, Deranged.
Deranged. 2020? 19.
There you go.
19?
Takinoko.
2014? 13.
Nope.
2012?
I already guessed that.
2015.
Okay, you have 11, 13, 16, and 18 left.
16.
No.
11?
Yeah.
What?
It's old.
Oh my gosh, it's like you. Jeez.
Yeah, dang. I know, right? 5 Minute Marvel.
18?
Yep. Okay, you have 13 and 16 left. Adrenaline.
16.
Yeah, and Bruges.
13.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Boom. There you go. That's all. That's all I'm doing for the whole decade thing, all right? All right.
So my question for you is also... No, it's not actually about the decade.
Yeah, because then you'd be a hypocrite.
No, I'm gonna go. But I'm also gonna be like super, you know, whatever people do at the new year. People would think we would be talking about our board game resolutions, which, you know, foreshadowing or whatever. But I want to give me one real life New Year's resolution that you have, Michelle.
I don't have any.
Oh, because you're too cool for that, hey?
No, I just, I don't know, didn't feel like it this year. I don't know.
That's fair. You want to know what mine is?
Sure.
Not to freeze. Not to freeze to death.
Yeah, it's pretty
cold. Because I was just looking this up now. It is currently minus 25 Celsius for those of you who are American friends. That's minus 13 Fahrenheit. That's ridiculous.
It's not that. That's not that cold.
Oh my gosh, it was so cold out before. I was frozen.
Do you know what I've learned?
What?
I like winter.
This is too much winter. Too much. I just had to figure out a way in our show to complain about the coldness at least.
Well, you did it. Always find a way to complain.
I know, it's my life.
And now you're complaining about the weather.
Hey,
you're officially an old man.
Tell me about it. Speaking of complaining. Let's complain about how bad we are at guessing games.
Sounds good.
Garg.
Nice.
Yeah.
We nail it every time.
Yeah. So what is this bit, Michelle? What are we doing here?
Well, we're guessing the game, hence the name, Guessing the Game.
Yeah.
So we've each selected a game, and we are going to give each other hints from BGG, which is Board Game Geek.
Really? I didn't know that.
The repository for all board game data.
I thought you said suppository for a minute there. I was going to be like, what? Oh, dear.
I know
their website is not the greatest, but come on. Okay. Yes.
It's getting there.
It is. Very
Give it slowly. Another 15 years, and it'll look like it's made in the 2000s.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
What was I saying? Yeah. And then we guessed the game. Boom.
All right. I'm going to go first.
Best description
ever. I'm going to go first. I'm going to give you clues first.
Okay.
You ready?
No.
This.
I'm never ready for this. I suck.
This game came out in the year 2016. In case you didn't know, was the previous decade.
Which, if you didn't know, was the year Adrenaline came out.
Yes, that's true. Ooh, look at this. We're tying everything together. We're on the roll in the new year, hey?
Boom.
All right. It's currently got 6.6 thousand ratings and 1.2 thousand comments. It plays 2 to 4 players. Playing time is 30 minutes and has a very heavy weight of 1.02.
Okay.
All right.
I have no guesses. 2016, like, what came out in that year? Oh, right, Adrenaline.
All right.
Okay, you gotta give me more.
I'll give you some mechanisms.
Okay.
Area movement.
Oh, God. Okay.
Flicking. And take that.
Area movement and flicking. Is it Catacombs? I think Catacombs is earlier than that.
It is not.
Is it Flip Ships?
I would have said Dunking in Scotch if it was Flip Ships.
I thought maybe.
Yeah.
Flicking. I'm trying to think of all the flicking games I know. That's about, you've pretty much.
Okay.
Flick them up.
No. Okay. I'll give you categories, though.
Okay.
It might help. Action / dexterity.
Oh, heavens. Okay.
Animals. Children's game.
Oh, it's a children's game, is it?
Oh, that's the debatable.
Flicking? Oh, no, it's not Rhino Hero. Oh, Rampage.
No. You're so cold.
Okay, that was a good guess.
It was. You're still cold, though.
Animals and children's game. It's not Rhino Hero, is it? Does Rhino Hero have flicking?
No.
I've never played Rhino Hero.
I'll give you the family.
Why are you giving me like a light game, man?
Okay.
Okay, give me the family.
Finger flicking games.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'm just reading. One versus many and animals, penguins.
Oh, Ice Cool?
Yes. Ice cool.
Because
I am ice cold right now.
Oh, I should have made that connection.
I'm so old. Get off my lawn. Okay.
Fail. Cool. Do you still play that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have the second one?
No. I do not.
Oh, you're such a loser.
Well, that's a lot of space, man, to do two of them, because then you just got to put them together.
Can you play both together?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can have, like, one giant school.
Cool. Yeah. See what I did there?
You rhymed school and cool?
No, I said cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. Clap. Clap for me. That's right. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
2015.
Okay.
7.9 rating with 17,000 ratings.
2016, you said? 17.
15.
15, okay.
Oh, my God, we're doing Guess the Game all, or Guess the Game. Ask me anything all over again. You're like, I'm just going to go through the whole decade.
Oh, my God.
Okay, 2015, 7.9 with 17,000 ratings. Plays 2 to 4 in 40 to 100 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and has a weight of 3.19.
Okay.
Okay, that's all that you
sounds,
get.
That sounds heavy.
Okay. Yeah, medium. It's medium, yeah.
3.9.
I'll give you some categories.
2018, you said, right? Okay.
Oh, 15.
Okay, go.
We'll get there. You need to get a notebook, Sean.
Yeah, okay, go.
Okay. Categories. Economic, medieval, and travel. And dice.
Sounds lovely.
I tell you dice.
2015.
Yeah.
And medieval, economic, and travel.
And is dice. It
Orleans? No, that's not. That doesn't have dice. Okay, I don't know.
Correct.
I don't know.
I want to see if
it's
I can.
It's not Grand Austria Hotel, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Family. These are so obvious. Okay, I'm going to read not everything. Family. Asian theme, cities Beijing, cities Iran, cities Venice, country China,
what?
Middle Eastern theme.
Why?
That doesn't really help you.
Should I know this?
Okay, family, animals, camels.
Through the desert? No.
Mechanisms, contracts, dice rolling, income. Oh, this is like every.
It's not camel up, is it? No.
No. No.
Five tribes?
But camels are like a... Yeah.
Is it five tribes?
A piece of it. No. Good guess, though. Point-to-point movement, set collection. Sorry, I'm tired. Variable player powers, variable setup, worker placement with dice workers. Oh, come on.
I'm supposed to know it with that?
Yeah. With you and I have played this together. We have played like five games together.
With
so
camels?
With camels as resources.
The camels are resources.
Yeah.
You sacrifice them for stuff? And we've played five games of this together?
No, I said we've played like five games together in total, so it shouldn't be too hard to remember.
I don't know.
Okay, it was just re-implemented, or a V2 2.0 came out.
Recently?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, everyone knows what this is, and I don't. It's, And it had camels? The second one?
Yes, it had... not the second time. Like, the third or fourth or fifth. Okay. The name harkens back to a very popular pool game.
Marco Polo? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Marco Polo.
No, The Voyages of Marco Polo.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I should have known that.
You should have.
I should have. That's like
I
one of the first.
The camels would give it away, but.
I can't even remember. Now I remember camels. I haven't played that in a long time.
I'm surprised it was 2015. I thought later than that. That's quite a while
ago. That was like one of the first games we played together.
Mm hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. At Falcon.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was painful. Oh my gosh.
That was really painful.
Wow. I know what you feel like now. Jeez.
Yeah, right?
Holy macaroni, man.
Well, shall we leave our pain and our macaroni to the past and see to our Hot Pockets?
Hot Pockets.
Hot Topics.
Hot Topic.
This is where we talk about Hot Topics.
I just noticed your thing on the thing. Oh, that's
my
true.
What?
Your thing on the thing. your underlined part, yeah.
So, yeah, so our hot topic is OMG, it's a two-for-one deal, a look back at 2019 and a look forward to 2020. And Sean's laughing because the first part of this hot topic is our 2019 stats, or the part where Sean admits he didn't really track as much as he wanted to.
No, I never do.
Because every year I'm like...
I always just forget. I go through periods where I forget, or I forget games, especially if it's late at night. Which seems to be a lot of the gaming I do is like towards the end of the evening when I'm really tired. So I just forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've actually been forgetting more, but I usually, at some point I remember.
Yeah, I don't.
And go back. I always go back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have any stats?
I do. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've like looked at the questions I've listed.
I have.
And if they're relevant to the data you have.
Sure. Okay. As long as it's not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As long.
Okay. I'll go first.
All right. Bring it on.
So I have 716 plays.
Whoa. That's a lot.
How many do you have?
I have 414.
Oh, you're failing at life, man.
And I would say, yeah, it's probably closer to 500, but definitely not. I feel like not a ton more.
And then
I've done a good job of doing it this year.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm just saying of tracking crap.
That's good.
There's a lot. Sorry, we'll get into this later, but there's a lot of sketchy plays in here too. But yeah.
Speaking of which, do you record app plays?
No, I do not.
And do you record plays with your daughter?
I do not.
Okay. No. So just like sitting in at a table,
yeah.
Playing a.
A game.
Hobby game. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So of your 418 plays, how many games did you actually play?
This says 211.
Oh, cool.
How many?
Mine's 340. So we're about half-ish each.
Yeah.
All right. And how many new games did you play in 2019?
Oh, this says 170.
191 for me. Much more Cult of the New than I was this year.
Well, is that new games coming out or new, like, no, that's just like first plays,
no, that's
right?
Just new to you, like
yeah,
first
okay.
plays. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you could be playing
Cult
stuff,
of the
old stuff.
Cult of the New to you.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Okay, and what was your age index?
10.
Mine was 8. So for folks who don't know what the age index is, it's... oh, gosh, how do you explain this? So my age index of 8 means I've played 8 games at least 8 times. Mm-hmm. If I played 9 games at least 9 times, my age index would be?
9.
10.
Oh, 10.
No, 10. No, I'm kidding. It's 9.
Oh.
Yes.
Don't mess with me, man.
You're like, what? This math is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So... What are your top 5 most played games for the year then?
My top 5 most played games. Oh, I have to sort that, don't I? Okay, I sorted. Okay, so the first two are again kind of sketchy. The Crew Quest for Planet whatever it's called. Planet 9, Die Crew. You know, that I talked about last time.
Oh, the
trick-taking
new one.
Game.
Yeah.
Again.
Wow, you've played that a lot.
Yeah, but kind of sketchy because a single play can be like 2 seconds. Like literally, like
okay.
You could do it in like a minute. Or it could be like 5 or 8, 5, 10 minutes. Similarly, Insider was my second most played game. Which again, a game of Insider literally lasts, you know, whatever the timer is, so like less than 5 minutes.
I actually find that kind of confusing with party games. Like, I don't play a lot of them, or even, like, smaller card games. I'm like, if you sit down and play the game, like, 3 times, you count it as, like, 1 session.
Which should it be a session,
plays,
yeah.
You know?
I go back and forth. It's funny. Sometimes, like, I'll sit and I'll ask what other people are doing, and I'll just do that.
Sean.
Well.
If everyone jumps off the bridge, are you going to,
too? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. My number 3 is The Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by that.
Nope. My number 4 is A Llama.
Mm.
And my number 5 is a tie between Stick Elm and Villainous.
Really? I didn't know you played Stick Elm.
Yeah.
I love that game.
I have played it 13 times.
Nice. It's a gooder.
It is a gooder.
When I first started in the hobby, I used to have game nights with my mom and my sister. It was like, ladies, game night. It's a nice way to spend time together. And Stick Elm was our favorite game. It came out like every time we got together.
I'm surprised because that can be a mean game.
Yeah, well, it allowed us to get our aggression.
That's out, fair.
Right? That's fair. Passive-aggressive aggression.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. So what are your top five beige game? I mean, what are your top five games? Top five
most. No, actually, you know, when I look at most played, it's probably, for the most part, it's more like it's the lighter, quicker games, right?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Or legacy games, which in my case, number one is The Rise of Queensdale.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a legacy game, and I had no choice. The next one was Metro X.
Yeah.
Number three, Hex Roller.
Oh, yes.
Number four, Scarabia, mm-hmm. or however you say that. And five, a Dizzle.
For shizzle. Okay, yeah. All those rolling rights pile up.
Yeah, pretty much. If I look down my list, the first, like, semi-weighty game is Wingspan at number 9, and then Forum Trajanum at number 11.
Mm.
And then Merlin is actually a 13. Oh, I do love Feld. But it's mostly lighter fare.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, our next section here is our top 10 games of 2019.
Yeah.
It's the time of year, and we are board game media, after all.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just have to say something, Michelle.
Okay.
We talked about this before. I'm currently in the closet.
Yeah. So you need to, like, move positions to get comfortable?
I apologize if bag sound. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce, and both my legs have fallen asleep, and it's really uncomfortable.
So, Bitzers, this is how committed Sean is to you. Yeah. He's sitting in a closet, cross-legged.
It's actually
to get better sound.
It's actually not a closet, just a closet. It's like a roughed-in bathroom, so it's like a fancy walk-in closet. So.
Oh, is that what you call washrooms?
Well, it's not an actual washroom. It was just, like, started to be built like a washroom, but there's no toileting facilities in here. I would love if there actually was, because then I could sit on the toilet while recording this podcast, because that would be classy.
Speaking of toilets.
Yeah.
This is important. This is important, to share with you. So I wouldn't normally waste podcast time.
Yeah.
But I saw, they always show those, I think it's mostly on YouTube, where they, like, walk through, like, ridiculously large houses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy who built, it was insanely huge. I don't remember how many rooms, but it was, like, absolutely ridiculous. And his bedroom was so large that he actually ended up building a, like, mini hidden bathroom kind of behind his bed. Like, not directly against his bed. But the bathroom was so far away that he's like, there's no way I'm getting up in the middle of the night and walking all that way to the bathroom.
That's awesome.
So he built, like, a hidden back bathroom to use in the middle of the night.
That's which hilarious. Is just,
ridiculous.
I need one of those. Okay. Well.
All right. So back to games. Did you have any? So last year we did, like, a new to us, right? So it wasn't necessarily released in 2019. Did you do the same thing this year?
No, I just did 2019 because I had trouble. Although now that I realize you can actually check what games are new to you, which I didn't realize you could do that at BGG stats. I was like, I can't remember which games were new to me or not. So I was like, this is too much work. So I just did 2019 releases.
Yeah, I ended up doing 2019 simply because when I looked at all my new plays, the ones that seemed to rise to the top of the list were 2019s, I think.
There you go.
Either that or I completely forgot that I was supposed to look at everything, and I only looked at 2019. Both are viable options, and I don't recall which ones came to me, or which ones I ended up using, which one. All right, so do you want to start?
Sure. I will start with my number 10. So this list has changed so much from, like, the first time I made it, which was, like, I started making it in mid-December, and I've just, like, changed it a ton. But let's go with my number 10, which is Black Angel. So this game was all the hotness around Gen Con, and I was totally enamored with it. And when I first made this list, I think this was like my number three game. And just kind of giving it more thought, it's like for the amount of time I can actually get it to the table. And the difficulties around Teach, even though I think I've gotten it down to where like I could teach the game in like 15 minutes and give a pretty good teach, difficulties playing with new players can be a challenge. And so that's kind of why it's so low, but I wanted to make sure it was on the list, because it was on the list and off the list back and forth. But I do really love the game. I'm a huge fan of it, and it's definitely a game in my collection, but it's lower on this list mostly because I think access issues for me.
I disagree.
I know.
I know.
What's your number 10, Michelle?
Well, since you started with a caveat, I will as well.
Okay.
I spent far less time on this than you did. I listed a bunch of games, and then today I was like, oh, I gotta, like, list them in order. And I spent about 5 minutes thinking about it. So,
You're so committed.
Well, I am committed.
Yeah.
I just, it came to me easily. Let's say I went with my gut.
All right.
So my number 10 is Ragusa. As you may, many of you may or may not know, one of my favorite games, I think, is Kalimala. Mm-hmm. And this was the designer's next game, Ragusa. And I haven't played this nearly as much as I would like to, but I thought it was, it had a really unique twist to it, I think, anyways, with the action selection. Mm. And I just thought it was a neat little game. It felt a little bit different for, mm-hmm. you know, for kind of the weight and the style of game mm-hmm. that it is. Yeah, I haven't played it in a while though, so yeah,
there you go.
Should probably get it back out. But that's Ragusa, my number 10.
Nice. All right, my number 9 is a game that you adore, Michelle. You love it. You're such a huge fan of this game. You're just a mega. You're like the president of the Point Salad fan club. My number 9 is Point Salad.
I'm actually surprised that's not in your top 5 plays, because that seems like a game.
Yeah, I think I've been playing it a lot more lately, which is nice. So I think it's, yeah, I'll look after. But I think it's pretty close. Yeah, so Point Salad is, you know, just a super, I want to just hit something, a super simple drafting game where you're just drafting vegetables and trying to score points based on other cards that have rules that you draft that give you points, and that's it. It's again, talking about the problem with Black Angel is that it's not a very accessible game, at least I find. Point Salad is a super flexible game, and it's a super easy filler that you just take out, you play, and that's it, and you're good. And I love that it scales nicely between all different player counts. We just played it on Friday at 6 players, and it works well. And I played it at 3 and 4 and 5, and I have tons of fun with it. So that's Point Salad, my number 9.
Yeah, that game gets a ton of love.
Mm-hmm. Except from you.
Yeah, it just didn't do much for me.
I think the problem is you were expecting a Feld game from something named Point Salad, and you didn't get it, and you were upset.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
All right, well, my number 9 is Glenmore 2.
Mm.
This is the second version of Glenmore. I really like Glenmore, and I have for a long time, and I was quite impressed with the second version. I thought that the tweaks and the additions made good sense and made the game better, and it didn't feel like too much. I mean, a little mm-hmm. bit, the amount of stuff in the box feels like a lot, but in terms of just adding the little elements into gameplay and like the clan board and things like that, it was just like, to me, it's just like, yes, that's precisely what it needs. Thank you. Yes. So, yep, happy with that one. That's Glenmore 2, my number 9.
Nice. My number 8 is the Taverns of Tiefenthal, is how you pronounce it. So this is one of those games that I think the first time I played, I think it was with you, actually. The first time I played this game, I was like, just like, eh, it's okay. You know, if I had to rate it at the time, I'd be like, it's fine, meh, it's fine. I see, or it's fine. I see why people like it, but it's not really doing much for me. The second time I play it, I was like, this is a better experience. This is a better experience. The next time I play it, I was like, ooh, I like this game. And every time I've played it since, I'm like, I really enjoy this. And what I guess what I like about this game, it takes, similar to, like, I think this Wolfgang Rorsch did this game, it's similar to what he did with Quacks, in that, you know, he kind of took this push-your-luck, it's a push-your-luck game, but it's built on, it's an engine builder. And then this is very similar in that it's like that, but it's a deck builder. So you're going to tick my boxes if you are a deck builder. And the more I played this game, the more I like it. I definitely think you kind of need to throw in the modules and play it, like, the whole thing. But, it's definitely enjoyable. And that's my number 8, The Taverns of Tiefenthal.
That's one I need to get back to the table. I don't think I've played it with all the modules. And
yeah, I think you need to just kind of throw it all in there. Because I think that was, like the first time I played it, that time when you taught it, it was like, it's just like kind of, because I think you just played, we just played the base without the different things in there. And then the next time I play it, I think it was like, I don't know if it was all of them or everything or whatever, but then the last few times I play, it's just been like everything in the box, playing it with everything you can play. And it's been really enjoyable because you have different things you can do.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give that one another go soon then. Haha. Uh-huh. I said about every single game.
Yeah.
All right. My next one, my number 8, is Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I think when I talked about this game on the podcast, I was still up in the air about it. Okay. And I still kind of feel that way, but it's one of those games that I can't stop thinking about and I want to keep trying.
Mm.
And I also really appreciate how simple it is. Like, there's very few actions you can choose, but there's just so much game there.
Mm-hmm.
And it, again, I think it's unique in that you're playing a Euro with, like, Soro style, you know, like, not maze, but line mm-hmm. connection or whatever. So, yeah, kind of cool. And also I got the very, very nice barrels, which...
Well, you did that. That makes the game much better.
It does, yeah. It really draws you in, and they're really pretty, and... Yeah, it's fun. So anyway, that's my number 8, Pipeline.
Nice. My number 7 is Res Arcana. And this is very much an engine builder where you're, trading in resources and manipulating resources to eventually kind of get your... play your cards and then get your big points from the things in the middle, which I can't remember offhand what they're called. I love this game. This is like a super quick engine builder. In fact, like, the one issue I think a lot of people have with it, it almost feels like before you can really kick off your engine, the game's over because the game moves so fast. That's part of the reason I really like it, though. It's definitely a challenge in that, you know, you're always like, oh, I'm one turn away from getting my engine really going. But when you get your engine going, it's like you can really just feel like the most amazing person in the world. I think this just ticks all my boxes. It's a gorgeous presentation. The bits are really nice. It's got the containers in the middle, which help. I love the artwork on it too. is really neat. So that's, yeah, Res Arcana, my number 7.
Cool. I need to try that one again.
Another game I played with you.
Did we?
Yeah.
Ah.
I think so.
Yeah, I didn't like that game that much, but we also didn't play with a drafting variant.
Oh, yes.
I was like, this feels super random. Like, yes.
You have to do the draft. Even if it's like now, if I play with someone who hasn't played before, you know, it'll, I think the book probably even says, like, play dealing out the cards, not with the draft. I think you have to do the draft because that speeds up the whole engine process a lot because you can actually target things.
Yeah, I keep saying one of my favorite games, but one of my favorite games is Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons is similar, right? It's like the game is all in the draft.
Yeah.
And I imagine that would feel the same way. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe I would like it, but
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. My number 7 did actually come out in 2018.
Cheater. So,
yeah.
Cheater.
However, it took 2 years.
Sorry. I apologize. Okay.
Oh, Sean.
It's hard being in the closet, Michelle.
I, I don't doubt it. Oh, man. You should take a selfie for
all the fans. Maybe I will.
Yeah, so this game took 2 years to get to Canada. The publisher had a bunch of things to say that didn't end up being true. There was a lot of confusion about why it wasn't in Canada, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, really happy it's finally here, and that's Blackout Hong Kong.
Really?
By the Pfister. Yeah. This was my... So every January, there's a 3-day con near Calgary, and this was my favorite play of that con. So I really, really liked it. And yeah, I don't know. I know it doesn't seem to have the best ratings. Like, mm-hmm. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. And I feel like people speak poorly of it. But then when I look at it on BGG, it's like 7.6 with 2,400 ratings. So I don't know, maybe I just heard like two poor reviews and made an assumption about that being the general consensus, but
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter because I really like the game. I think it's fun, I think it's interesting, and it's got a great solo mode, and yeah, it's Pfister. Like, it's good stuff. I really like it. Why are you so surprised?
I don't know, because I feel like I haven't heard you talk much about it. Hmm. Or just, like, in general, or... I don't know. Yeah,
well,
I just
got it.
That would explain.
Seriously. I think I think I got it in maybe November of this year. Like, that's how long it took.
Mm.
And just because it wasn't Cult of the New, I probably didn't talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah.
It's a cool game.
Did you see the picture I sent you, Michelle?
No, because I'm not on my phone, because I'm professional.
That's
Sean.
True. That's true. Well, you're the one who told me to take a picture. Okay. I'm going to tweet it after.
I pictured it a lot more dark and small.
No, it's actually pretty good lighting, actually. Because I told you it was roughed in to be a bathroom.
I know, but, you know, I don't know. Like, bathroom could be like a tiny little closet with...
Speaking of bathrooms.
Okay.
You know what creature uses a bathroom? Or has to go to the bathroom sometimes?
All of them?
Llamas.
Okay.
That's my number six. Llama.
Wow, what a great segue.
So amazing. Okay, yeah, no. Llama isn't... Yeah, I absolutely adore Llama. It is a just, you know, straightforward Uno-esque card game that has, of all the games on my list here, has the most laughs and joy that I've played. If I was Marie Kondo-ing this, I would keep that game for sure. Because it sparks so much joy. And again, super accessible, easy to play. I played it a ton this year with a ton of different people. And everyone I played it with loves it. And it's just so much fun. That's all. That's kind of the reason it's on this list, is because of all the fun I've had with this game. But
yeah,
number six is Llama.
Cool. My number six is Trismegistus.
Really?
And yeah,
that's very
game.
Surprising.
This is another game where I just keep going back to it, and I always want to play it. It's just really thinky, I think, anyways, and fun to play. And it's got dice, and yeah, I just really like it. The only reason it's not higher on the list is it does feel a little bit clunky to me, mm. and the end game scoring can be kind of convoluted,
mm.
either hard to see if you're in your first play or two, or you have so many cards or publications that you're like, I don't want to math this. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay, figure it out. Yeah, and some of the rules, like, it doesn't sing. It's not super smooth, but I still really like the game. So, yeah, it's my number six, Trismegistus.
Cool.
You're so surprised by my list.
I am. All right, my number five is a game that I have talked about on this show recently because it gave me such a big spark, Michelle. According to you, that's every game. But my number five... My number five is Unmatched. This was another game that was probably geez, when I first made this list, I think was the number two. Because when I first made this list, I did very similar to you in that I just kind of threw a bunch of games down and put together a list without really thinking about it. And kind of as I think about it, I'm like, it definitely belongs on this list and high. I just haven't necessarily played it as much as some of the other ones that are a little bit higher. But Unmatched is that kind of map-based card combat game that I've mentioned this before, but I feel like it's like everything I wanted from Dice Throne, which is a game I do quite enjoy, but it's Dice Throne without the cards and with a little bit of a board play on it. Dice Throne without the dice, so Throne, if you will. I'm so funny. But but yeah, and the nice thing about it, it uses kind of like characters that people are familiar with. So you got like Merlin, and you got King Arthur, and Medusa, Sinbad, Alice from Alice in Wonderland, Bruce Lee. I have like the Bruce Lee expansion, which he is so much fun. There's Bigfoot and Robin Hood coming out with a bunch of Jurassic Park ones, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde are coming out, and I think there's a Buffy one coming out at some point. So it's kind of like they can chug out all those things. And what I enjoy about it too, it's like it's got that nice tactical feel. It almost feels like this just really wacky chess match, especially when you're playing two players with it. So yeah, Unmatched is very high for me.
I could not remember what that game was, but I looked at the art. No, I remember.
Yes, the art is amazing. The probably best thing about Unmatched is the art that's done by Mondo Entertainment or whatever they're called, and they do lots of pop culture art, and it's their artists who are working on it, and the art is absolutely just stunning.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Makes up for a crappy game. No, I'm kidding.
Ouch!
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just playing. I'm sorry.
Oy vey.
Alrighty then. Let's move on to the next Euro, shall we?
Yeah, let's bring on the next Euro. Yeah, our tastes are very, when you look at our things, very, they yeah. come out.
That's good.
Yeah. We're covering it all.
That's right. Like, can you imagine if there's a podcast with just two of me?
Oh my God, that sounds like hell. Just fall right.
Exactly. Be like, yeah, we got it already. Feld is great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Another medium weight Euro. Nice. Wow. All right. So my number five is Mary Kaibo, which is another Alexander Pfister game.
You're really fisting it up, aren't you?
I love the Pfister. Yeah, this is a great game. I've only played it a few times. I feel like if I was to look back at this list in, like, say, a year or two, it might be higher up on the list.
Okay.
And I know it seems to get, like, a lot of love. Like, people really, really love it. But there are other Euros I've played that I get more joy, if you will.
Yeah, gotcha.
To use Sean's terminology from. But, yeah, I think it's really good. And I think that this one, like talking about how Trismegistus is clunky, this is not clunky. This is the opposite of clunky, except the rule book, which is complete beep. But yeah, great game. Well done, Pfister.
You're really fisting it up, Pfister.
Yep, that's right. That's my number five, another Euro, Maracaibo.
All right, well, my number four is not another Euro.
Does it have Marvel characters and superheroes?
It's got Marvel characters and superheroes in it. That's, hey, way to go. Good guess. It's Marvel Champions.
Yay!
So I don't think I need to talk about time, even though I don't think we've kind of covered it in depth in the show, which I will, because I'm just, like, really, really into this. The reason I will be honest with you, the reason this game is not number one is because I had a couple of really bad experiences playing this at four. I think it goes from, like, at two, the game is, and I've even played it solo. At solo and two, the game is amazing, absolutely out of this world, fantastic. At three, it's like, it's good. It's quite good, but at four, it slogs because it's really slow and I think it's really hard. It's harder at four. because everything is quadrupled and it takes a long time at four. I think maybe if you have four, I've heard if you have four players who know what they're doing or are familiar with the game, it can be a little bit faster. But thinking of it in terms of like a two-player or three-player game, it is so much, it is absolutely a blast. And you know, because it's Fantasy Flight, they're constantly releasing hero packs and villain packs. I just played the Captain America, which is the newest expansion hero pack, and he's so much fun, and I love him. And Miss Marvel I played, and she is fun. She's the other one that just came out. So there's going to be tons of content coming out. And I, after that four-player game, I was like, do I really like this? Like, I think this game's a huge disappointment to me, but then I played it a few more times at two and three players, and I'm like, no, I really like this game. It's just, you just kind of really have to probably avoid four players with it. So,
BGG community agrees with you.
Do they? Yeah.
Yeah, they say 1 to 3 and best at 1 to 2.
Yeah, yeah. 2 is definitely the best. Although, I played because I wanted to test out the new heroes before I played them. I played them solo, and it's actually super fun, and it's nice. I have to be in the hospital overnight this week for a sleep study, for my horrible sleep. I mean, bring this and play tons of it solo. That's my plan.
That's a good plan.
So, yeah. That's Marvel Champions, my number 4 game of 2019.
Whoa!
Whoa!
My number 4, I feel like these top 4 are like, could be in any order, but my number 4 is a Feld, and it's Forum Trajanum.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm
also really surprised about that based on your thoughts about it on the show.
Oh, this is 2018, so I just didn't play it until this year.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, I love this game. It's really good. The more I play it, the more I like it. Yeah. It's just one of those games that I kind of always feel like I'm in the mood to play. And I think it's brilliant. And it's Feld. And,
Feld.
Yeah, it's growing. I think I didn't love it at the beginning. But no, every time I play it, I'm like, yeah, this is good. Nice. It's just fun. I don't know. There's something about his games. Mm-hmm. They just draw me in. It's a good one. I'm really happy. I hope he comes out with another good one this year. I was looking. I can't remember what the next title is because it's... Yeah, I can't remember.
Hopefully it's got Marvel superheroes in it.
That's what I'm hoping.
He does have a miniatures game in the works, so...
Really?
So, yep, that's happening.
Oh, my. Like, there's miniature like, Euro?
No, I don't know. I like miniatures, so...
Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Revolution of 1828.
Yeah.
That came out this year. That was a Feld game. I did not even purchase game.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear much about that one.
No, I don't know. It's not my style, but yeah. Still Feld. All right, what's your number 3? Fell.
All right, we're on to the top 3. These are the big ones. Are they big hitters? Now? I don't know. You know, in the Olympics, people get medals for first, second, and third, so I don't know. My bronze... We have to do sports here. My bronze medal winner for 2019 is Wingspan. It shocked me how much I actually like Wingspan now. Again, that's one of those games... I think when we talked about it on the show, I was very, like, meh about it. And thinking back on it, I think part of that was because of all the hype it had. And I don't think it was possible for me to actually for it to live up to all the hype it had. And then after that play, I didn't play it again probably for like 4 or 5 months. It was quite a while after my initial play, which was in January of last year. I didn't play it for quite some time. But then I played it that time and I really enjoyed it. And constantly just played it the other night, just played it on Friday again, and like constantly have played it quite a bit now, and I absolutely adore it. I love it. I see everything about it that people talked about in the beginning. It really is true, because sometimes it can be hard with all the hype, right? The, just like, you know, that hype just takes over. But it's like, no, it really is good. You know, it's so much fun to work on different engines and to get the birds going, and obviously the components and everything about it. And now mixing in the new expansion gives you a little bit more. There's some more mechanics in it. So I think it's looking forward to those, you know, South American birds next time. So that's Wingspan. My number 3. My bronze medal winner.
Wow. my bronze medal goes to
Wingspan.
I'm gonna drum roll. Cooper Island. This just came out.
I was gonna say, yeah.
But I've played it a bunch.
Okay.
A bunch being like 3 or 4
Nice.
In like the span of a few weeks. That's pretty good.
That is.
This is by, I don't remember his full name, Odenhall or something.
Yeah, isn't it just like Ode on BGG? It's like Ode
probably,
or something.
Probably, yeah. That's what they, on the cover, it's like an Ode game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. This is the same designer as La Granja. This is a pretty heavy Euro. And I am surprised at how much I like it. I find the decisions agonizing, and you get very few points in this game, so when you do get points and when you do pull something off, it feels very, very good.
Mm.
I like how everything comes together. I like there's a physical tiling aspect, so as you play the game, you have a peninsula in front of you that's yours, that you're laying tiles on and stacking tiles on, so you get this sense of like you're really building something and you're putting buildings out there and that sort of thing, so I like that. And I just think it's a really, really good game.
Nice.
Really having a lot of fun with this one. Yeah. So yeah, that's my number 3, Cooper Island.
Nice. Cool. One day I'll try that. One day. I don't know if I would hack it. I don't think in that.
I think you'd like it. I think you'd think it was fine.
just fine.
No Marvel.
No,
whatever,
obviously.
Whatever.
Maybe if you put Marvel characters on Cooper Island, then I would really like it.
I actually have a new idea.
Do you?
So I'm going to go through and print off Marvel characters. And I would use examples right now, but I don't know.
You don't
Marvel
know any?
Characters.
That's fair.
So I would Google Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
I would print that off. I would cut out the heads, and I would take every single Euro that I own with a white guy on the front, which is basically all of them, and I'm just going to plaster Marvel Hero Super heads on all of them, and you'll never know.
I would probably play that. All right. Time to do a two-hole. You ready?
My favorite.
All right. So, my number 2 is the Artemis Project, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this on the show yet, but I definitely will. I have played this game, like, let me look, I can actually do this, 7 times in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So I play this game, yeah, and like 7 times in the last 4 weeks, including twice, multiple times in the evening, because I have enjoyed it so much. And so I originally kickstarted this game, and just sat on the shelf for like months, and I did not play it. I didn't open it, and I kept thinking to myself, "Okay, I'm gonna play it now." But once I started playing it, I really enjoyed it, and it's kind of like a dice slash worker placement. You're using your dice as workers to do that. It's got some really neat mechanisms in it. Scoring is really tight. Like, you know, the score track only has 40 on, up to 40 on it, and most games are kind of like under that. So you really have to fight and claw for your points. It can be really mean, depending how the people at the table are playing, because you're constantly going after what they're going after. So it really depends. Like, you can really be like, "Hey, this guy's my biggest rival, I'm gonna keep blocking him," but I guess it would be a detriment to you. And there's a lot of variability, because there are tons of buildings in it, which is really nice, because you're on Europa and Jupiter's moon and trying to colonize it type thing. So there are lots of different buildings for the two different main phases of the game. There's lots of there's these events that happen, and it's a deck that you take from. There's the missions that you're going on, or the expeditions they're called. Again, there's a deck of those. So there's a fair bit of variability in that you're seeing different cards and different things throughout each time you play it, which is really nice. Artemis Project has been a huge, huge hit for me. I knew I would like it based on what it is. I don't think I thought I would like it as much as I've liked it, which is really cool, which I'm really excited about. Have you played this yet? Do you have it? I can't remember.
No, I didn't end up getting it because I heard it was really mean, and there's like a fair amount of take that. But I'm curious about it. Like, I would like to try it. You should.
Well,
bring it
we will play it next weekend. Yes, because
I think it looks like Alien Frontiers to me.
I mean, it has that kind of little bit type thing. Yeah, a little bit. Another thing I really like about it that I should mention is there's a fair bit going on, but it's got such a nice footprint, and a number of people have commented about it. Mm. It's not, like, it doesn't take up, it's a small player board, doesn't take up a ton of space, which is really nice. You know, so many
that
games,
is nice.
You know, Wingspan I just talked about, which can be a bit of a table hog sometimes, you know, and other games that just take up so much space. This is such a nice small footprint too, which is really nice.
Cool.
So that's my number two, Artemis Project.
Nice. My number two is your number 10, which is Black Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played this one in a little bit, so and I've been itching to get it back. I have not.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is the follow-up to Trois, which is one of my favorite games. I need a shirt that just, or tattoo that just, like, says that, because apparently I say that about everything. But, I really, 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 really liked this game. I thought it was better than Trois in that it was a bit more streamlined, mm-hmm. and less convoluted in terms of iconography.
Mm-hmm.
Ian O'Toole did the art, I believe, and it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
The bits are fantastic. You have little aliens that you put into spaceships. I mean, it's just, it's everything, and it's a fabulous game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just want to play it right now.
Nice. Go ahead. Go play it right now as we're recording this. It's got a pretty decent solo mode. It does have solo mode as well.
Yeah. It's great solo.
Yeah. So you could totally
really,
play this.
I really liked this.
Yeah. Nice.
I could. Yeah. I probably will. Probably will. And again, like these top three. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is my number one. I don't know.
Mm.
But anyways, Black Angel. Great game. Very happy with it. Surprised by how many copies I've seen on the secondhand market. Mm-hmm. Not a ton,
yeah,
but more than I would have expected.
Well, again,
I think it's fantastic.
I think when we initially talked about this game too, I think a big issue. I think people, one, I guess we're expecting a lot from it too, but I think people also expect a lot based on the price. It is an expensive game. I think that's been an issue for people. At least that's kind of the feeling I get. But, it's a really good game. Like I said, if I could play it more, or I didn't have issues around just kind of teaching new players it, I think it would definitely be higher for me. So, that's kind of my issues with it. Yeah. All right. We're at the big one, the gold medal, the top of the podium, Michelle.
That's right.
And it is going to be...
The home base.
The home base, exactly. The goal, if you will. And
if you will.
It is going to be so hard for you to guess what my number one is.
You know what? I probably should know, but I have no clue.
you seriously have no idea what my number one would be.
No.
Not
like, for me to think, okay, what came out in 2019, first of all, is difficult. Then for me to think, okay, what did Sean like and what has he talked about that he really likes? Because it's not like I talk to you much outside the podcast or play with you much.
Well, whose fault is that?
And I'm like, you say so many Marvel and superhero words that I've lost track of what's what.
Oh my gosh, you suck. You suck. Everyone at home is guessing right now what my number one game would obviously be. So whatever. Should I just go ahead and say it? Because I have some more superhero games to go in.
Yes, say it.
It is Marvel... Legendary, but no, okay, that was the only Marvel game.
Okay, I was like, see, it's another Marvel. Like,
no, but that did not come out in 2000. I don't even like Legendary that much. My number one is Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated. Obviously, I debated for a while with whether it was this or Artemis Project, and probably the only reason, if Artemis Project would be called Clank Artemis Project, it would probably be my number one because I haven't. You know, I mean, I haven't made it all the way through the campaign. We're about two thirds of the way through. So we're not through all the way. So I was like kind of hesitant, but no, it's Clank. It's a legacy game. It's funny. The writing is really well. I'm loving the story. It's gotten me to actually go and listen to Acquisitions Incorporated podcasts to kind of learn about the characters that are in the story as well, which I love. Definitely my game of the year this year. I can't imagine anything so awful is going to happen that it won't be my favorite Legacy game as well. It's Clank, and what's nice about it, it's not, it's just Clank, but with a Legacy component and with a story. It's not trying to be anything ridiculous, anything different, right? It's just, it's got this IP. I mean, the one thing I would probably, you know, would have been nice if it would have just been a completely original story, and I guess this is an original story, but using original characters would have been kind of cool, because you would have gotten attached to them and stuff, but it's fine. Like, not knowing anything before about Acquisitions Incorporated, I'm kind of, it's kind of like new characters to me. So, but yeah, absolutely loving it. And it helped that I got smoked in so many of the first games, and then the last game we played, I just, like, dominated everyone, so I, like, feel like I'm getting my Clank mojo back. My Clank mojo has taken a beating, because I like to think I'm pretty good at Clank, and I just every game I did so bad, so poorly, and then the last game I just, like, destroyed everyone, which made me feel good, you know, so.
We just had a game where someone made it down to the bottom of the board, went back up, back down. And made it all the way back up again.
Wow. Which
is pretty epic.
Whose fault is that they were able to do it?
Well, I know, but it was mostly with boots and stuff. Well, I'm not going to talk about it.
Those boots are made for walking. So,
yeah.
Or running.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot about that game, and I'm going to say that had I remembered, I likely would have made it my number...
One.
Eight.
No, one, Michelle.
Below Pipeline and Glenmore 2 and Ragusa, I think. 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Who knows? Something like that. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it too. It's fun.
It is lots.
It's a good game.
Lots of fun.
All right, what's my number one, sir?
I gotta think what came out that you haven't talked about. I should try and find a list of games that came out this year, because that would help. I don't even know how you do this on BGG. I'm just gonna look at the hottest games, and it's probably one of those, right, Michelle?
What are you talking about?
No, we covered the Feld that came out. Yeah. We covered the Feld. Is it Wingspan?
Yeah.
It's Wingspan, all right.
Yeah, Wingspan is my number one, which surprised me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just such a good game. I know it's kind of random, you know, and luck plays a part. But I just think... as an overall game and an overall production, it's fantastic. I love playing it. I think it's smooth. I think it's cute. I think it's pretty. And I don't see myself ever getting rid of it.
Nice.
I can play it with gamers. I can play it with people who don't play games. It's a little complicated for them, but
yeah.
I still think it's possible.
Yeah.
I love the expansion. I think, you know, I like expansions that add... pretty much most of the same thing with a little twist. And yeah, I think it's a brilliant game. Like, it's really well done.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, of all the games on my list, I don't think it's necessarily my favorite one to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely up there, but I think just overall, like, I just have so much respect for the game. I think it's just really well done, and I enjoy it immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because it's my number one.
You're number one. Number one.
Yep.
So we landed up crossing over a couple of times on here.
So, we did. You know, Wingspan, Black Angel.
And Clank, if you have been paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And Point Salad. I think Point Salad's on your list in spirit. So, you know. Yeah.
Definitely not. Yeah. No, that's a hard no.
A hard pass.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Do you want to talk about any games that were a disappointment?
I don't know. What was a disappointment? I'll let you talk first while I look at the app to see.
Well, I didn't make a list, but yeah, I'm kind of going through my plays, so I'll, like, call them out as I see them. I was disappointed in Herbaceous Sprouts, just because I really liked the art, and I like dice, and I was hoping there'd be more to it, but I didn't really like it that much, all that much. Imperial Settlers Rollin' Right, that was a big disappointment.
Mm.
I thought it was okay, but... it was clunky and just meh. Ray Colt, you know, Uwe, we always get excited about. And same thing. It was okay, but meh. Let's see here. What else? If any come up for you, just... Well, passing through Petra was disappointing. It looked like such a cool puzzle, and the board was really awesome. It had, like, the 3D mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, had a caravan moving through it.
Yep.
And it was, I think it's Alex Cavern, who, I find him really hit or miss, but his games are always really puzzly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd really like it. And it was, like, again, I didn't mind playing it, but I ended up selling it. Selenia, that was,
oh, yes.
Based on the mechanism in Black Angel, I just thought it was too basic. That mm-hmm. was a bit of a disappointment.
One that's popping out for me here is Escape Plan. And I talked about it on the show. I've played it a few times, so I just had some issues with the ending, and I think it kind of took away from the experience a lot. That was definitely one.
I picked up Mercator, which is an out-of-print Uwe.
Okay.
And didn't necessarily have the greatest ratings, but I didn't really like it all that much at all. So it was kind of disappointing. And also, I can't seem to sell it, which is disappointing. Yeah. I was like, well, it's an out-of-print Uwe. It'll go.
That tells you about it.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey.
Australia was another one I was kind of like very meh on as a. I don't know what I was expecting from that type a game from Martin Wallace, because he's Martin Wallace can be kind of hit or miss sometimes, but as a huge fan of A Study in Emeralds, I was kind of expecting a little more, and it just didn't really grab me the way I had hoped, and I can't really put my finger on why, but there was another
for me. Seventh Continent gave that a go this year. It was very there wasn't really a game there that surprised me because it had so much hype.
Mm-hmm.
That was a disappointment. Artsy, that's another Alex Cavern game that was just, it was okay, but disappointing.
Eco's First Continent is, so my biggest issue with that one is I played a 5 for my first game. I'm a huge, huge fan of John D. LeClair. The components are nice. It's a really nice looking game. Nice chunky pieces, but at 5-player, oh my gosh, it was awful, like horrible.
Oh, I really wanted to like that game. It had so many, it was too combo-rific. It really was. I can't imagine at 5 it would take so long to get around the table.
Horrible. Horrible.
I can't remember when Crusaders Thy Will Be Done came out, but I backed the deluxified version. And I actually liked the game, but I found for like the amount of setup versus game time and game depth wasn't worth
it. That's fair. I could see that. Sinister Six was another one. Speaking of Marvel heroes, we talked about this on the show, but I don't know, from my demo at Gen Con of it, I really enjoyed it, and then kind of actually playing the game a few times, it had the art, it had the components, but the gameplay was just like, there just wasn't much there.
Mine, for me, another slight disappointment was Hadara, although I was glad I didn't have to spend $68 for a deck of cards and some cardboard. I like the game okay, but I don't know, something about it just feels very, like, static.
It's not Seven Wonders.
Yeah, there's something missing from it, but disappointing, because a lot of people really like that one, too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Point Salad was a disappointment for me.
I think that's kind of it. A 5-2.
This feels so negative. Like,
no, it's just, a 5-2-1-1 was another one that I was expecting a lot from with all the hype around it and the way people talked about it. But it just didn't, I don't know. It just didn't kind of, didn't seem like there's much of a game there.
I was excited for that one because I really, really, really like the cards.
Yeah.
But I ended up not buying it because when I watched the review, I was like, this seems really, really simple.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it for
me. Yeah, that's a good list. All right, cool. Well, let's move on to the next thing, is we'll just review our 2019 gaming resolutions.
Yeah.
AKA, how badly did we fail?
Yeah, I'm assuming I fell. Oh, I, jeez. Yeah. My number.
Okay, so
this is awful.
So Sean's first one was to play 100 times 1, so 100 different games. But more specifically, when you started kind of talking about why you picked that, you said, you really wanted to get to your shelf of opportunity and play a variety of games.
Yes, and I did do that. I think I'm under 10 games that I have not played right now. Probably, like, closer to 5. I definitely did that. The 101 I just stopped doing after a while. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I think, you know, not the 101 piece, but the fact that I kind of started playing more games, different games, playing a greater variety of games and working through my games. I definitely think I did that. Yeah. And okay. Michelle's first one she had was play through some of her less known games, not just one play and dump.
I did do this for the most part. Mm-hmm. I started like I have a Google Doc that has like all my zero and one plays. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like whenever I get a game, I add it on there and I keep track of it. It doesn't completely drive my decisions to play games because sometimes I just want to play something that's mm-hmm. old. But I am trying to play the game that I get more than once to help myself retain the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we talked about, I remember.
Yeah, and also for me this year, I found myself, like I go through phases for sure, but I found myself a lot of the time just feeling too tired to like learn a bunch of new games. Mm-hmm. So it was actually kind of nice because I would learn a game and then play it at least a few times because I knew the rules. So yeah. It was a bit easier because I was tired. So yeah,
that's fair.
I did pretty good with that one.
That's fair.
All right, your next one was December. So only play deck building games in December, which is ridiculous.
Not even close, no. I don't think I played anything not called Clank that was a deck builder in December, so no.
Fair.
Yeah. And yours...
That's a hard one.
Yours was complete Felduary.
Which I did. I'm like itching for the next Felduary. I'm like, come on, I want to play all my Felds.
I
love Felduary.
You know, Michelle, you have Felduary, you love Feld, but who's the guy who met Feld this year? You know?
You did.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
And I feel like I'm going to hold that over your head forever.
I know, it's so sad. Actually, I'm not really one of those people that gets very, like, I wouldn't say not starstruck, but, like, I don't really have any desire to meet famous people.
But
I don't know.
It'd
be nice, it'd be kind of cool, but...
Yeah. You didn't.
All right, your next one was Curb Purchases.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think I did, although that is... This month, or last month, did not go well. I had a couple of pretty long spans there. I was just having this conversation last night with a Bitzer, and I'm such a bad stress purchaser that like I could go like 5 or 6 months and just not buy any games and not think about it. But then like, you know, I'll have a horrible week at work or something bad will happen and be like, I need to buy something. I need to spend money to make myself feel better. And it'll be to a board game website that I go to. The other thing I've been trying to do more this year when I do purchases that has helped too is just looking at the secondary market. I'm usually too slow to get to things, but not buying everything new right away, which has helped too. But definitely less. I've purchased significantly less this year than last year.
Okay, cool.
Your next one. Well, let's just do the same thing since this is just in a different spot.
That's what I was thinking. That was on mine as well. Yeah. I don't think I did. No, and I don't know that I care. Like, I don't know. I recognize that this is my hobby and it's to have fun and I have a budget and I stay within my budget and it's probably a little extreme how much I buy, but it's within my budget and this is supposed to be fun. And I feel like if I try too hard to like only buy this or only buy that, it just like, it takes away some of the fun for me. And, I don't know. Just no.
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 Speaking of no, Michelle.
Yeah.
My next one on here is saying no to more games. So I don't play Munchkin again. That's fair. Yes, I have gone so much better at that. I am so proud of that one. Maybe even more than the curbing purchases one. Is that, yeah. Just because, honestly, like, my time that I can play games is really a lot more limited than it used to be. And I know, like, for some people see, like, 400 plays, and they'll be, like, a lot. Keeping in mind, you know, tons of those are Insider and G-Crew. I just don't have the time to play games. So if it's going to be, like, a 3 or 4 hour game that I don't want to play, whereas in the past I'd be, yeah, sure, I'll try it. I'm going to be like, no, I want to play this or that. Or if it's a game I just don't have no interest in playing, I'll just be like, no. I'm not doing it. And I've It's hard. As a Canadian, it's hard to say no, but I've definitely improved. I have more to go, a ways to go with that one, but I can do it to get even better at it.
Good for you, Sean.
Yes, good for me. Yours was play through The Rise of Queensdale, which you spoiled earlier.
Did it.
Yeah,
nice. Nailed it.
Yep.
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 And, I had a few more than you,
yes,
so I'd
you
become
did.
Less attached to games. Let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah. I would say this is happening. Yeah. I sold a lot this year. I also bought a lot, so it never feels like my shelves are empty, but I did let a lot of games go, and I think I'm getting better at that. Like, I think I'm holding on to a lot less.
Nice.
And I try not to let, like, nostalgia get in the way, if you will, you know, or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Clapping is much better in here, in the closet. All right,
yeah,
what was
your
last one?
The other thing was say yes to more, so not just Euros. Mm-hmm. I think I did pretty good. I'm really lucky because one of the game groups I play in is just really open to anything. And so, Ameritrash doesn't hit the table, but, like, say shorter, lighter games will. Mm-hmm. I've still said no to, like, six-hour Twilight Imperium sessions because I still have, you know, boundaries. but I did play more. I felt like I, you know, played more than just Euros this year. So that was good.
That's fair. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should do what is expected of us and have some 2020 gaming resolutions, Michelle.
Indeed.
Yeah. Do you have any offhand that you want to put out there and be stuck with for a whole year?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So as I was thinking, I was like trying to be all deep and I'm like, you know what? Like, I kind of go back to like the whole money thing. Like, this is just my hobby. I just want to keep it fun. So like, don't put too much pressure or too many caveats around my hobby.
Don't have any resolutions about your hobby. It's pretty simple.
Nothing. But like, you know, I don't know. Like, there was a part of me that wanted to, like, really challenge myself or, like, you know, I don't know, you know, or, like, the whole, like, oh, buy less and blah. I'm like, no, like, this is my, like, this is my hobby. I'm just going to have fun with it. So anyways. So that was kind of, like, my approach to some of my resolutions. But obviously the first one is complete Feltuary. So that's a pretty good one. And I actually really do look forward to this every year.
Nice.
So for people who aren't aware, Feltuary is February, and I play all my Felds, and I have almost all the Felds, so it ends up being, I think, around like 20 to 25 Felds in 1 month, and February is often a shorter month, too, so it's fun.
Nice. Well, I'll have a resolution to play one Feld game in Feltuary.
There you go.
So that's my resolution.
It.
One.
And I'll play one deck builder in Dekember.
No, Dekember's no longer a thing. Forget it. It's too much work. No.
Too much work.
I'm really bad at games. for those of you who don't know, I'm not very good. For someone who plays games and really enjoys the hobby, I'm not good at many games. But I think from how much I enjoy Marvel Champions, I think one thing I do want to have a resolution is to actually get good or even just passable. I'll accept passable at a game because I'm not a competitive person, so I generally don't care. However, I think it's okay to be competitive with a game where you're playing against the game, right? So Marvel, something like Marvel Champions is it's a co-op game or solo if you're playing in solo and you're just fighting the bad guy from his deck and trying, or her deck and trying to beat the bad guy. So, and given that it's very much in the vein of the other LCGs like Arkham Horror and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars that Fantasy Flight releases, it is kind of a lifestyle game, right? Like, it's the type of game where you have to you're probably going to keep up with the purchases as they come out with the expansion packs and stuff. So if I am going to do that, I do want to be somewhat good at it. You know, I want to feel like, hey, I'm actually good at this game if I'm going to be going down the rabbit hole. So it's one of my resolutions is just to get good at a game. Not even going to say games, just a game. Just a game.
Cool. That's a good one. All right. One of our bitsers, Denman, sent me this mechanics challenge on BGG. So I signed up. And you can choose to do insane, hard, core, or normal. So the idea is that BGG has 97 total mechanics listed. I like to say mechanisms, but in this case it's mechanics. And normal is to complete 25, and hardcore is 45, and insane is 85. The catch being that you cannot use the same game twice.
Okay.
So you basically have to play, you know, a game with those mechanisms, but every mechanism has to have a different game. So I've signed up for the insane challenge.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, why not, right? Like, what's going to happen if I don't? So I'm currently at 14 out of 85 mechanics. And I've
started this year.
For this year.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, it's going to be super easy at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess so.
And way harder as it starts to get towards the end, and you're like, acting, singing, like, oh, yeah, better get Sean over and play some party game.
Totally, 100%.
So, and I've also started recording my plays with my daughter because I'm like,
desperate.
Those have to have mechanisms in them. So, like, for example, I've completed a cooperative game, my first Castle Panic, and Enclosure, my first Carcassonne. So, there you go. But yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to try this year, just for fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Another one I have is, I guess, not so much to curb purchases, but I am very, my shelves are starting to overflow, and I've had this in the past, I know, but it's just to work within my space, and that my wife is very crystal clear that I am not allowed getting another game shelf. So I want to make sure that I'm able to, you know, just kind of get rid of my, back to yours from last year, being less attached. I feel like I'm not doing a great job of, especially the last few months, getting rid of my games. And I've had trouble, and I just, yeah, getting rid of them and just getting motivated to get rid of them. So I want to be able to do that, the games that I'm not playing, getting back to, hey, if I haven't played a game in a year, I don't want it, like my year thing, or even 6 months. I think I moved it up to 6 months. So I just, combination of, again, just playing the games I have that I still have, and you know, and clearing out the things that I don't have, so other people can enjoy them and other people can have fun with them. So I definitely want to get back to doing that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have anything around like buying less or whatever, but well, I do more specifically.
Buy more,
I should say. No, buy more. No, buy just as much. I'm fine with. But mine is just be more mindful of expansion purchases, because I think I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast, and it's becoming more crystal clear to me the more time I spend in this hobby, is that, you know, for me, expansions are not always the best investment. I find often that when I'm looking at my shelf and having a hard time picking a game, quite often if there's a game with an expansion that I know is in there and I know I haven't played much, sometimes or often will be like, I don't want to deal with that right now, because it's a bunch of bits that you might have to take out or add in or figure out what goes with what. It's another rule book. It's all the challenges of relearning a game times two.
Yeah.
You know, because of the amount that I play all my games, right? I don't know all my games, right? So it's that relearning experience, and it's just harder with expansions. And a lot of the time I find, you know, I prefer streamlined games, and sometimes I find that expansions take away from that. And quite often the base game is enough. So, yeah, I do like expansions. I still buy expansions. An example to me of a perfect expansion I already mentioned is the Wingspan expansion, where it adds more of what's already there, but with a few easy tweaks that you can add into the game. Or if I've played a game a lot, which is not, you know, it's not very common, let's be honest, right? Like, if I'm sick of a game, I don't need an expansion. I need to put it back on the shelf and go play something else and come back to it in a few months. You know what I mean? So yeah, and because they're there and because they're actually becoming a deterrence from me playing games, I just want to be more mindful of which expansions I actually purchase.
That's a good one. I like that one. Okay, I got one more here. And
okay, cool.
You can have more. You can have as many as you want. But my last one is something I've started doing this year. And it's kind of board game slash more tabletop in that I want to continue to expand my tabletop horizons. This year, for the first time, I am involved in a regular with huge quotation marks, but in a D&D campaign. It's the first real, true kind of regular D&D campaign that I've done. I did a little bit of work in the past, but this is like, you know, we sit down for 5-6 hours and we go. And we do it. I've also been exposed to tabletop miniature games this year. Bitzer Anthony has, I've played a few times with him now, various incarnations of Warhammer. And I've quite enjoyed it. Like, I've really enjoyed the experience. Now, I'm not going to go down the Warhammer rabbit hole and, like, you know, spend hundreds of dollars and stuff, because I'd still rather spend hundreds of dollars on board games than a few miniatures. I'm not going to do that. But if other people have, it's something that I definitely want to play with some more. I know there's a Fallout miniature game out there that I would love to play. I know there's a Walking Dead one. So, like, I really want to expand my horizons. I definitely want to also start getting in, playing role-play games more, because I'm really, really, really enjoying it. Like, I've been doing this D&D campaign, you know, I've mentioned on the show before. I quote-unquote DM role-plays for kids as therapy. Like, I do that, and I really love doing that for communication. And I have fun with it. And so I want to do different types, not necessarily D&D, because I'm loving this D&D campaign we do, but high fantasy type thing is not my shtick. It's not my thing, right? I hearken back to my first origins where I did a one-off session where I was a cat called Call of the Cthulhu, and how much fun it was doing that, right? So it's like, I want to do more, just more kind of tabletop adjacent, tabletop type things beyond the board game realm. That's a big goal for me this year.
Yeah, I actually have been thinking about that more, too. I think I would enjoy, like, nothing crazy long or involved, but I've never done role-playing, and I think I would actually enjoy it.
And, I mean, the thing, you know, think about Clank Legacy is, I'm going to assume that you and your people are sometimes doing voices and sometimes doing things, right? Like, to me, Clank Legacy, with the story, it almost feels like you are doing role-play with it. It's very, very similar. You know, like, to, like, a DM-less type role-play thing. So, while you haven't done it, I'm sure you've had experiences where it's very similar to role-play, which, you know, which is nice. Yeah. So.
For sure. Cool. All right. I have a few more, but I'll go through them quickly. So, as I already mentioned that I have this, like, 0 and 1 playlist, so I'm definitely going to keep doing that. I really like it as a way to kind of monitor how many unplayed or rarely played games I have in my collection. So I like doing that. And right now I have a frequent or standard, I guess, game night on Mondays at my place. And it's an incredible group of people. I absolutely love those nights. And we'll play anything and we have a great time, and so definitely want to continue having that. And it's nice, it's because it's 4 people, so now I'm playing more than like 2-player games all the time. Which has been really nice. But yeah, I hope to continue that. And then the group I'm playing Clank Legacy with, I hope that afterwards we can play another Legacy game. And the one I've pitched is kind of outside the realm of what I would normally go for, but I'm hoping we can play Betrayal at House on the Hill, the Legacy version, because I've heard it's actually really good, and it sounds like it might be fun. So, yeah, hoping to do another Legacy game this year with that group. And then, lastly, I've been doing a lot of game aids and rule summaries for BGG.
I've seen. They're impressive. Was it Crystal Palace? Is that the one you
did? Crystal Palace.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, I did Crystal Palace and Cooper Island and a bunch. Sorry, what were you saying?
I said that one was really impressive.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I actually really enjoy doing it. So I want to keep doing that as well. I originally was like, oh, maybe I should make like a Smarkle. You know how it's like, oh, if you're not specific enough, it doesn't matter. But I was like, nah, it's my hobby. So whatever. I just want to keep doing game aids. whatever that looks like for BGG, because it's fun, and it kind of harkens back to what I do during the day.
Nice.
So it's kind of a neat melding of my personal interests and my work interests into one.
I lied as usual. I want to do one more. Just because your legacy comment reminded me of it. I want to try and get my wife to do a legacy game with me. She really, you know, the 4 months of Pandemic Legacy Season 1 that we played, she really enjoyed. Uh-huh. Like, she still asks, like, can we play it again? And I keep telling her, of course, like, we could totally play it. We're just, like, you know, the people we played it with, we don't really live near, although he's our DM for D&D. So, I mean, we do see them fairly often. But, you know, we could play it ourselves, and she really doesn't want it. So I'm hoping to find something else to play with her. And I was actually thinking about Betrayal, because she has played Betrayal before.
Cool.
The other one I'm kind of wondering about is Machikoro Legacy, too, because she has played Machikoro. Mm. I don't remember if she likes it or not, to be honest. But I'm kind of looking at those two, maybe.
I played that one.
Machikoro Legacy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how was it? Nope.
Well, first of all, it's me talking about Machikoro Legacy, okay. So really, what do you expect?
Yeah, that's fair.
If you like Machikoro, giddy up.
Okay.
You'll like it. Like, it's, you know, it's doesn't add a lot. It doesn't overcomplicate things. Yeah. There's some cute additions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's still Machikoro.
I think she's probably going to need something, now that I think about it, too, something co-op-wise, because she likes co-ops. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, you could sticker Rise of Queen's Day.
No, I stole it. I sold it. It's gone. Log on.
Oh, man. I picked up Flick 'em Up Dead of Winter because it was super cheap.
Yeah.
And I thought Rich might like it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stickering in that game. Oh, my God.
Barf.
I was like, this is not a Sean game.
Barf.
Yeah. Lots of stickering.
Yeah.
All right, folks, there you go. There's our expected obligatory 2019 recap episode.
Yeah.
Thanks once again for sticking with us for another year.
Another year? A whole decade. They've been with us through this whole decade so far, Michelle.
All what, 2 years? How long have we been doing this?
2 weeks?
2 years?
Oh, 2 years, yeah. But we're two weeks into a new decade now, or a week and a half. So
right,
yeah.
Oh, I see where you're.
Yeah,
going.
They've listened. The Bitzers have listened to us, spanning two decades now.
That's right.
Nice, booyah!
Oh, we sound so special.
I know.
All right. Well, we are special because we have an incredible show sponsor, Board Game Bliss.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was nice, yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, Board Game Bliss, and thanks and Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wondering, Board Game Bliss is a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye. Peace out.